The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. This time talking Thanksgiving for what should be the last time this year, God willing. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Wait, do you hate Thanksgiving? Is that what you just said?
It's my favorite holiday, but let's face it, Christmas specials are more interesting on the whole than Thanksgiving specials. This Thanksgiving special we watched for this one was so bland, they literally replaced it. They replaced dialogue to make it not a Thanksgiving special, and it worked just as fine.
You shut your mouth. This was delightful.
What?
This was a delight.
Oh my God.
We have a lot to talk about.
You two are crazy. Once I give you the history of this, you're going to eat those words like a Thanksgiving turkey.
That's where it's coming from. She's got knowledge, so she has to defend it.
Did this cartoon fund getting Jewish people out of Nazi Germany somehow, like smuggling them out? Is that why you're for it?
I did see Oskar Schindler was an executive producer on this.
Yes.
Because anything less is unacceptable.
Yes. In 1980, when this cartoon was made, it helped smuggle Jewish people away from the Nazis.
It helped fund a time machine to go back to 1941. Mm-hmm.
This all holds up. Now, what we're watching this week is Dorothy in the Land of Oz, and Gina decided to go on a super rampage of information today, shocking both me and Chan. I'm speaking for Chan, but I assume so, because this is not what Gina normally does.
I am excited to
find out all this stuff.
I will always at least check the Wikipedia page. I am a font of knowledge. But here, I'll give some backstory. So when I was little, Wizard of Oz was my favorite movie. I watched it every day after kindergarten when I came home. I knew all the words to all the songs. And then later, Return to Oz came out in 1985. And I also loved that. And then as an adult, became obsessed with just how weird and freaky that movie is. Which, if you haven't watched Return to Oz recently, for God's sakes, watch it. Despair.
I could say for the record, Return to Oz should be a Halloween movie because it's the goddamn scariest movie ever effing made.
It was in the vein of, and at the same time as Labyrinth and The Dark Crystal, and that was the trio of movies that you were like, this is what kids watch? This is for kids? And now as an adult, I watch it and I'm like, this is fucked up, dude. But this special, which the version that we watched was called Dorothy in the Land of Oz, was originally called Thanksgiving in the Land of Oz.
And
they released it as a Thanksgiving special and then wanted to be able to rerun it year round. So they changed the title to Dorothy in the Land of Oz and took out some references to Thanksgiving. There are obviously still a giant flying turkey in it and other Thanksgiving-y things. But
that's something that happens all the time. You routinely go downtown and there's a giant turkey balloon floating around because
I wish there
last
was
Thanksgiving parade. Things went horribly wrong. It was cut loose and it now just roams free.
Hiding in alleyways. I would leave my house a lot more if there were parade balloons, Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade balloons year round.
They eat your goddamn pies. How's that a good thing?
I mean, it didn't eat it. It just stole it.
It didn't even steal it. That was the wizard. We'll get to that point. My goodness.
It ended up all working out.
It did. I mean, thankfully I don't want, for this cartoon.
You know what? If a turkey comes up and like grabs a Hostess hand pie out of my hand and runs off with it and then brings it back, it's his. I'm not going to, what am I going to do? Eat it? No. Especially then it starts talking.
Oh,
so of course I'm not going to eat
it. Too good for pies that giant balloon turkeys have touched? Is that what you're saying? Racist?
Turkey slobber? No. No, 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 no.
Also, the pie wasn't like stuffed until after the turkey had it, so I'm not trusting anything.
What, you think that giant turkey jizzed in that pie? Is that what you're saying, right?
That is exactly what I am saying. Thank you.
I mean, there's a movie about this very subject, American Turkey Pie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. American Pot Turkey Pie.
American Pot Turkey Pot.
Turkey
what?
Pot pie.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Turkey Pot Turkey Pie. Okay, so this... So this turkey, which is colored green, is high, smoking weed, smoking a grass, doing a doobie, and then steals the pie as he would.
And makes a pact with his turkey friends that he's going to lose his virginity by the end of summer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and just pull back the curtain. The team told me before this episode, Ray, you need a through line. You need to send us what order we're going to be talking about this stuff in, because we always seem to miss stuff and get off track. So I sent them a bullet point presentation of exactly the direction the show is going to go. 1 second into the show, Chan has jumped 5 story points beyond where we start.
All right, here's the thing. You say team. Let's pull back the curtain even further. By team, you mean Gina specifically.
Yes.
Because I don't give a crap.
Look, all I was saying is sometimes I have very important points to make, and I realize you're already several acts past my point.
We had a rare team conversation.
But here's the thing. Everything I'm bringing up is pre-stuff leading into it. So it was was called Thanksgiving in the Land of Oz.
Yes.
And the writer, which this better make you like it, is Romeo Muller, who's the guy who wrote all of the best Rankin and Bass stuff. So Rankin Bass stuff. So he wrote Rudolph and Frosty. He also did, you know, the animated Hobbit movie, which is great.
Classic.
So they basically went to him and said, hey, can you write a Wizard of Oz Thanksgiving special based on the first 5 novels in the Wizard of Oz book series? And he said,
"So this
sure.
is like Dune, where like
yes.
you have to, where David Lynch is trying to cram 800 some odd pages into 2 hours."
Yes, this is 5 different books worth of Wizard of Oz material stuffed into a 23-minute holiday special.
Was it intended to be like a pilot for a series? I thought that's what was going on.
No, oh. it was a one-off special, and then later he turned it into a novelization, which was called Dorothy and the Green Gobbler of Oz.
Really?
But he's you know, very, very famous writer, and it's why even
Dorothy Extended Universe.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm writing my Dorothy fanfic right now.
DEU.
But it basically, Robert Mueller is like, while I was watching it before I knew this, I thought, man, this really has a Rankin Bass feel, because it's
Ray. Don't tell her Bob Moe is a completely different person than the Romeo
Mueller
she meant to
say. I can't believe he wrote this and then tried to prosecute the president of the United States so many years later. What
quite
an amazing,
broad range.
What a career this guy's had.
Yeah, he wrote the best Christmas movies. And then he you know, turned against democracy.
You know, according to the president of the United States right now, his report on him is a deeper fantasy than the 5 Oz novels.
So does this make you like it more now that you know that the guy who tried to prosecute the president wrote?
So wait a minute,
I mean,
it helps. How did he smuggle the Jews out of Nazi Germany? I wasn't clear on that part.
He built a real working model of the Green Gobbler giant turkey and just sent it flying in the direction of Germany.
Okay.
And we assume what happened after that. There's no actual documentation, but he said all the Jews were saved.
Soon after Hitler shot himself, we can presume that it was the Green Gobbler that did the job.
Yeah, exactly. If you saw that thing flying at you in your bunker.
Oh, no, no, no. I assume this was more of a Zero Dark or SEAL Team 6 situation where the turkey like flew in under cover of darkness, like snuck into Hitler's bunker, shot him and made it look like he had shot himself and then snuck out because he's, you know, special ops.
I was thinking everything was going great for Hitler, and he was thinking, wow, I've got this great looking woman. I'm about to exterminate the Jews. My life couldn't get any better. And then he looked out the window and saw a giant green turkey balloon and said, oh, no, I've lost my mind, and then blew his brains out. And the turkey cackled wildly and then turned in the other direction.
You know what? We'll never know.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
No documentation.
We can assume that it is one of those two things that happened that ended World War II.
Again, in 1980.
Yes, in 1980.
Well, guys, if it's okay, I'll go to the second bullet point on my layout.
I didn't look at this thing that you sent out, Ray. I'm going to level with you.
I looked at it.
We are in keeping with what you sent, by the way. You put the first bullet point was talk about Return to Oz, which we have now done.
I'm missing the Hitler is killed by the Green Gobbler talk. I don't think that made my rundown, but it's a good run.
I read between the lines. It's fine.
Well, no, because I want to talk about this because it opens up with Dorothy having a dream that she's back in Oz again. And she goes and she tells her Auntie Em and Uncle Sam or whatever the heck his name is.
Oh, my God. What is wrong? Now I actively hate you. Because here's the thing. Even if you're not a Wizard of Oz fan, you better be a Lost fan, which has tons of Wizard of Oz references. Henry Gale, Auntie Em and Uncle Henry.
Uncle Ben Linus, is that
yeah.
the name I'm
supposed to? Uncle Smoke Monster Chan, come on.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes more sense. Well, wasn't Ben Linus the Smoke Monster? I didn't see the last four seasons of Lost.
God, Chan, you're upsetting. You're upsetting all
you're
of us right now.
An aneurysm.
Such a good show.
Hold on. I'm editing this document to add talk about Lost. Then pie stolen.
Well, okay, so her family.
Pie stolen yet.
Her family thinks she's absolutely crazy, which is just wild to me.
Wild? You're telling me that if your daughter woke up one morning and said, "Oh, Papa, I had the most fantastical dream just now. I was in a land, and there was a talking pumpkin head man and a talking scarecrow." You would just automatically be like, "Whoa, Luna traveled someplace weird."
Yes, I've trained Luna not to lie. So if she comes at me with a story like that, then it must be accurate.
Oh man, you're in for a wild ride.
I'm curious what this training is, but you know, we can talk about it off the air.
That's right.
I'm sure there's many VHS tapes that you'll be able to forward me that explain this process by which you have taught your 3-year-old not to lie.
I've got a Calder Holbrook collection of videotapes I could send you on the subject, Chan.
Nice.
So the thing that really drives me crazy here, and we were just like a minute in and I felt very depressed, because they want to go out of their way to make you feel sad for this family. So in line, you have the fact that this is Thanksgiving, and the day after Thanksgiving, they lose their entire farm and house to the bank for foreclosure because they couldn't pay their mortgage. On top of that, the Auntie Em and Uncle Smoke Monster are having to go to the to a nursing home. Despite the fact that they can still like move around and stuff and be on their own, they're getting kicked into a nursing home, and Dorothy is like going to an orphanage or something. No, it's like a cousin's house or a foster situation.
It says cousin's house, but I think that might have been changed for this version, because it was originally orphanage. It's they're losing the farm, going to a nursing home, and she's going to an orphanage.
And on top of it, like his like lumbago is acting up. Like it's like one thing on top of another. And but I'm just like, okay, I get it.
They are in good spirits though. Like Aunt Em has just made a really delicious pie that she sets on the windowsill.
Correct.
And they're all really excited about this big feast that they're going to have. And you got to admire their spirits.
I love it. No, what's crazy about this is I just assumed they had like tons and tons of people showing up, because they're like, let's make this a Thanksgiving to remember, since it's the last day of our lives, basically. And we'll never see each other again after this is the subtext.
Yeah,
And then nobody's planned to come over. It's just the three of them. And I got very upset even further.
Ray, their feast consisted of a mince pie.
Oh, no, she
you
was probably
bring over
making
40
other
people
stuff.
And
no, she has a turkey at the end.
Thank you. And you bring over 40 people, so they bring dishes, Chan. Have you never done Thanksgiving? You've been Thanksgiving here before. That's how we do it.
No, Ray, these are simple farm folk. They don't know anyone outside their immediate family.
Wow. They're just they're depressed by economic anxieties, which cause them to vote against their best interests. And thus they lose their house.
Do not say that Aunt Em and Uncle Henry are Trump supporters. They are
not. There's no way they're they live in Kansas on a farm. There's no way they're not Trump supporters.
No, they are not. They are not in their hearts, they are not.
They're not only Trump supporters, they're probably QAnon fans.
No.
Because they got AOL Online back in 1994.
No, Aunt Em has nothing but love in her heart.
For the children who she is trying to save.
Eventually, they're going to have to contend with the fact that their guy lost. And what is all QAnon going to do once that actually happens? When January 20th rolls around and there's a new guy in the White House. They're going to retreat to their fantasy land. Their Oz, if you will.
Oz has a barrier up that does not let Republicans in, so they would not have been able to get in at the end if that was true.
So what you're telling me is that Oz has built a wall to keep out immigrants?
Thank you.
So you're saying that everybody in Oz also were Trump supporters? Gina, this is a dark world that you have created, and I don't feel comfortable with it.
Look, it's all not I just know that- is this cartoon pie, it looks delicious. Look, and until it comes to life, I want to eat it.
The wizard is clearly a libertarian. No. Okay, look at what he does. It's fine.
Hold on.
The wizard? Yeah.
Yeah.
This mince pie is full of trash.
No, it's just filled with meats from different countries.
Okay, no, we'll get there because this is outrageous. So the pie is stolen. It turns out it's the Wizard of Oz who steals it because Uncle Smoke Monster tries to run after him and he physically can't move fast enough or enough, quite frankly. He's got the arthritis in his knee and he can't move. So Dorothy is like, I'm gonna go beat that dude's ass. And I'm here for that moment. I was just like, Dorothy, go get him, girl.
Yo, are like real talk, and I will point them out. There are a lot of awesome Dorothy moments in this special. Like, she is dope. And if you don't like this cartoon, you hate little girls.
No, I don't hate little girls. I hate the message that they're sending to little girls that if, you know, some dude in a beat up old white van with no windows is driving around. I was like, hey, little girl, come here. And she's like, no, I don't want to. And let me give you a piece of my mind. She opened up the door. She walked right in to give her a piece of my mind. And then she gets sent to live with Jeffrey Epstein. His island.
Oz doesn't let Jeffrey Epstein's in. They have a barrier up and it can sense if you're a pedophile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that whole caravan, they're preventing the caravan from getting into Oz.
Oh,
is that what's happening?
You just called members of the caravan pedophiles.
Well, you know what? Some of them are. They're not sending their best.
Obviously, racked with diseases that they're trying to give to your family.
Some of them, I assume, are good people.
Oh, sorry. Wait. I just read that. That was a Facebook post on Auntie M's Facebook. Sorry.
She doesn't have Facebook. Okay.
Oh, no,
she's got
it. Posts.
Here's the other reason this cartoon is amazing and awesome, and you guys are wrong, is because the wizard is played by none other than Sid Caesar.
That's pretty great, actually.
Huge, huge talent. Huge talent, that Sid Caesar.
I did not see the message you sent until later, and I was like listening. I was like, that sounds like Sid Caesar.
Yeah. All right. And he crushes it. He plays two different roles in this, and he's really going all out.
Wait, but who else is he playing?
He's playing the pie. Pie is also Caesar.
And at that moment, we lost Chan.
No, that pie is hilarious.
I don't know how to feel about the pie. I don't know. I'm not going
to
say good or bad.
Let's wait till it comes alive before we talk about it. Because we got to talk about this turkey balloon now. Because the wizard's like, yo, I just moved into a tent down the street from you. Maybe a bad decision because you're losing your house tomorrow. And,
yeah, he,
I don't
he
know
went
what I
from
was
being
thinking.
He went from being the all-powerful Oz in Oz, and then he took his balloon at Dorothy's behest and flew away from this magical land and into poor farm country where he could not make a living. He should blame her for all of this.
This is what kills me, is he makes this horrible-looking turkey balloon. It's a big green with patchwork turkey balloon that's supposed to, he's trying to, his goal here, okay? His plan was, I'm gonna rent this thing out to, like, the Macy's Day Parade and the Christmas Parade, all these other parades around the world. This shitty-ass green patchwork turkey, I'm gonna rent it out, and I'm gonna do it from my home office at this tent by the side of the road in rural Kansas. It is not the best plan for a guy who is the all-powerful Oz. Dorothy looks at it and she's like, yo, that shit is ugly. I couldn't believe they said shit in the show, but there it is.
Weird. Yeah. It sounds like a terrible plan, but when you're on meth, everything's a great plan.
Because
this dude made an entire Thanksgiving Day parade turkey balloon
in one
overnight
night.
In the dark.
In the dark.
That is meth or cocaine, depending on what you can get in Kansas, which says to me is crystal meth.
Yeah, and that's his justification for why it's a horrible puke green color. But here's the thing, other than the color, like, I don't see either of you being able to make a 50-foot dope looking turkey balloon. Like, if he had just used a regular color instead of puke green, that would have been a pretty sweet balloon.
Gene, if I could use my white guy confidence for a second, the only reason I have it is because I haven't tried. Thank you.
Have you actually seen a Thanksgiving Day parade balloon?
I have not missed.
Those things look nice. This thing looks like garbage.
I have not missed a Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade since I was a fetus.
Then you are insulting every single balloon creator that you have ever seen in your entire life by saying this is basically as good.
He makes it in one night in his camper. I think it's impressive. And it actually flies.
Can you read my spec script that I wrote? It's for 2.5 men. I wrote it in one night, so clearly it's very good.
Oh, you also wrote it in the dark, too, I believe.
In the dark. I could not see a lick.
Look.
But I'm pretty sure there are no typos.
He built a giant turkey balloon able to steal pies with its beak somehow that actually flies. And not only flies to magical lands.
Scene opens. Charlie Sheen walks into kitchen. First line of dialogue. Masterpiece.
So the giant turkey balloon steals the mince pie.
The turkey balloon somehow steals the mince pie, starts to fly away. Dorothy has to grab the rope, and she flies away with Toto the dog and the mince pie. And wouldn't you know it, they're going back to Oz. I mean, it's the title of the show, so I imagine, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta get back somehow.
Gotta go back to Oz. Oh,
Jesus Christ. And then we get our first big song. Could you play a little bit? Because I've honestly already completely forgotten it. I'm really more obsessed with the other two songs in here.
And so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's delightful. Like this magical dreamy land. Yeah, it's very Disney-esque.
It's delightful. No, Rankin-Bass-esque, thank you very much.
It felt pretty workmanlike. Like, when they got to the choruses on all their songs, I was like, all right, I get it. This is not... It is proper structure of a song, but it's pretty terrible.
Look, this was not written by an untalented songwriter.
You
it doesn't mean they
crazy.
Were inspired.
So are you
but
telling me you don't
bad.
Like the songs in Rudolph? You don't like the songs in Frosty?
Are you telling me that the Tommyknockers is just as good as The Stand? Because one dude wrote them both.
I mean, book wise or movie wise?
Yes.
I'm just saying. I think this is an underrated Thanksgiving classic.
Wait a minute, they made books out of those movies?
I hate you both so much.
I don't think we're allowed to... it would be rude to talk trash about the new Stan miniseries before it even happens. Oh. But also, especially because it's on CBS, we can't jeopardize.
First of all, we don't say bad things about CBS here.
Wait, first of all, why would you ever shit talk that? The first miniseries was amazing. I just watched a whole 19-minute YouTube video about the making of it and little-known facts because I just finished my reread of The Stand. I just finished rereading The Stand. And so
I was about to ask, where do you have the time? And then I remember, oh, you're not married or having a kid.
Hey, you made your bed of no time. You need to lay in it.
I made a lot of life choices that took me away from video games. So I had to take a career that moved me back towards it again.
All I'm saying is that Stand miniseries, the new one, looks dope as shit. And I will be signing up for CBS All Access.
I forgot that you don't get it free, which is terrible.
No, TV places never give anyone anything for free anymore. It's not the 80s, Chan.
I have that. I have CBS All Access. I'll be watching.
You should.
Yeah, we paid for it so we could watch Star Trek.
Yeah, that's why
I guess we'll watch this Stand thing.
You both have it and I don't have it? I've written on three seasons of a CBS shows in the last 3 years.
Really? Because I paid $9.99 a month.
It's a tax write-off. $9.99? Tax write-off.
Are you getting the ad-free? Come on, man. That's how they get you. $5.99. You're getting scammed.
I'll pay $4 to not watch those ads. Trust me. It's
big. Yeah. That's
tip for people at home. If you have Hulu and you're doing it with the ads, pay the extra $2 a month. Dear Lord, what is wrong with you? But you get all your time back. You have enough time to be Gina reading The Stand and then watching YouTube videos about it, just from that one choice.
I like to use those 45-second commercial bursts to clean.
You know, Gina, there's a pause function.
No, because then this like makes me time it. Like I get to do it quick, and it's like a game of like how many dishes can I wash in these 45 seconds.
These shows go from 58 minutes to 42 minutes, and you can watch an extra show every night if you just pay the $2 a month.
I have my system, and I like it.
Step back, and let's talk about the fact that you gave her an Xbox, but she still thinks games are 45 seconds of dishwashing. So I don't know that fun is really a thing that we should go to Gina for advice on.
First of all, I probably have more video game systems than the both of you combined. So that's not my first gaming system. This ain't my first rodeo, as Dr. Phil would say.
Gina, had you hooked up the Xbox One, you would have seen that I did preload it with the 45-second dishwashing simulator. So, I mean, look, it's right there for you. So Dorothy lands in Oz, and we get immediately introduced to Jack Pumpkinhead. And in my mind, I'm just like, yo, this was before Return to Oz came out.
Yeah.
They're obviously, we're going to get introduced to all the Return to Oz characters like 5 years before that movie comes out. That's actually kind of cool, despite the fact that, as I said before, that movie makes me pee my pants.
It's based on books, though, Ray. You know that, right?
I don't know that. Oh, I don't know what the book.
Like,
I'm not
that's
familiar.
That's why the characters in this look so similar to the characters in Return to Oz. It's why Jack Pumpkinhead and TikTok look exactly like Jack Pumpkinhead and TikTok in Return to Oz, because it's all based on books. But yeah, Pumpkinhead in Return to Oz is a really scary character, and he's basically the same character here.
And Pumpkinhead is terrifying even before Lance Henriksen shows up.
That's a good reference for you, Ray.
It's a movie reference. I mean, that's all I got, you know.
I mean, yeah, I think I get it just based on context clues, so I'll just give a perfunctory and we can move on.
I'll be honest, that's the strongest laugh I've ever gotten from Chan.
Chan, you need to add that movie to your Halloween movie rotation, because it is scary.
Pumpkinhead
with Lance Henriksen.
Pumpkinhead with Lance Henriksen, underrated Halloween movie. Quite honestly, pretty good. Pretty good movie.
Yeah, he's like a farm man, and Pumpkinhead is coming out of the earth to get his revenge.
Yeah,
that sounds terrible.
It's shockingly good.
Great. But,
you know,
I think I'll just watch Event Horizon or Hellraiser 2 again.
Did you like Candyman? It's very much in the feel of Candyman.
Yeah, it's someone done wrong. Pumpkinhead gonna get him.
Pumpkinhead gonna give it to you.
Piglet will do.
So we get introduced to our plot device character, our antagonist, whose name is, nope, I'm just cutting you off. Tyrone.
Wait. First of all, you missed the weird thing about how Jack Pumpkinhead immediately, we need to get a sound bite on this because he immediately thinks that Dorothy is the enemy because he thinks she's holding a pumpkin pie.
Hello, enemy. I give up.
What makes you think I'm the enemy?
Anybody who carries a pumpkin pie is the enemy to me.
First of all, that is not a guy you want on your team who greets you with, hello, enemy, I give up.
It has weird, I don't know, connotations of, because there's a banjo playing in the background. So it sounds like it's making fun of like Southern hicks or something like that. Like you would expect him to have like a Dixie flag on his coveralls or something like that.
Stop trying to turn these characters into Republicans.
I mean, find me another reference here, because he's got a hick accent.
He is a coward. In the movie, he's a coward. And can I just say that one of the most disturbing parts of the movie, because again, this character is very disturbing looking, and at some point he asks Dorothy to feel his head for soft spots, which is such a creepy ask. And then also you realize, oh, so this dude's pumpkin head is going to rot. He's checking it for rot. So at some point his head is just going to start rotting away. It's a terrifying thing to teach a kid.
At some point we all are going to rot, Gina.
Not me. I've made too many deals.
Wait a minute. So Gina, you telling me that all those years I was at the single scene asking ladies to check my head for rot was not working for me?
Can I buy you a drink while you check my head for soft spots?
I really thought that was a winner. I figured like she's into Oz, she'd be into me.
I'm so disturbed.
I was not very successful at all.
Look, Pumpkinhead does not get laid in this cartoon, so I think we know that it just doesn't work out.
Yes.
Are you suggesting that he is getting,
I think there's a chance,
Pumpkinhead from somebody?
Look, I'm just saying his name is Jack Pumpkinhead.
Getting Pumpkinhead.
So you think there's a Jill right Pumpkinhead?
There. I'm saying there could be. Look, we have just because we haven't met her doesn't mean she's not there. So this is the part of the episode where we get introduced to our antagonist, who is, and I'm going to get it out, Tyrone the Terrible Toy Tinker. Who doesn't seem like that bad. I don't know. He makes giant toy soldiers, which is a little weird. And Jack Pumpkin, who's not the person you want in charge of the Doomsday device, let me just put it out there. He's the one who has this life powder. What's the name of this powder?
Powder of life, yeah.
Powder of life. Okay, I got it. So powder of life. And he's got like a coffee can of it, a giant coffee can of it. And he's like, whatever you sprinkle this on comes to life. And for some reason, I'm the one entrusted with it. The guy who was ready to surrender 1 second after meeting you.
Yeah. So
I can see where this plan goes bad.
This was how Jack Pumpkinhead was brought to life in the books and in this and in Return to Oz.
Well, in this show, sure, yeah.
Because he's such an honest soul, he's entrusted with this powder.
Not right.
But also, 30 seconds earlier, he thinks Dorothy is the enemy because she has a pie, and now he's saying, hey, do you want to see the most dangerous thing in Oz? Here you go, stranger. So not the best tactician. Weird.
I hear you talking mad trash about this guy because of how we meet him. And to be perfectly honest, if Ray showed up at your house and he had like the bloody head of your brother in his hand and like a chainsaw in the other, and he was like,
where are you going with this, Chad?
You would think you're the enemy, and also I surrender because you're terrifying.
Nope.
She's coming in with what he thinks is his people all mashed up and made into food. So,
but Chan, they're not his people because they haven't been sprinkled with the life powder. So,
no.
You know,
and here's the thing: I will refute this because I subscribe to the Corey Hart school of warfare in that I never surrender. And so if Ray came to my door, I would either take him out or kill myself before I surrendered.
Well, Gina, the problem is if I showed up at your door like that, your ring, the ring device would not recognize me. Well, I wouldn't get the drop on you.
That's true.
No, the problem
there's a
you
deep
wouldn't,
cut.
You wouldn't be able to do anything because you would be wearing your sunglasses at night. So you wouldn't be able to see him. That's a less deep cut that people might possibly understand.
Oh,
Ray.
Come on. Everyone knows never surrender.
Never surrender is fine.
No, never surrender is fine. People don't know that I showed up at your house one day and didn't trigger your ring.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
They do now. It's Ray, now common knowledge, Chan.
Ray left something on my porch and my ring did not go off, which, by the way, it senses body heat. So now I think Ray's a zombie.
Yeah,
I'm a vampire. Fair.
And I just saw a movement out of the side of my eye, but I thought, no, that can't be a person because my ring didn't go off. And so I opened the door and just squint at this person getting into a car. And why is there something on my porch? And I think that Ray has been undead this whole time.
It would explain my soul. That's for sure.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, this is Keith, or some actor playing Keith, I'm not really sure anymore, but we're coming to the end of my Los Angeles con spree, but before I leave, I have some scores to set and discover a couple truths to be revealed. It's all going to come down to the season finale of Rideshare Episode X. It's going to drop on December 3rd. Now, until then, I want you to catch up by binge listening the first season, and I suggest that you do exactly as I say. Or you're going to miss all the fun.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's breakfast time. Listen at breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Welcome to the Wizard of Oz.
Look, it's Dorothy.
And Glinda's a good witch. Her bubble lights up.
And all Dorothy's friends on the Yellow Brick Road.
Bring me a Wicked Witch's broom.
Dorothy. It's the Wizard of Oz playset with three light-up features and cast of characters. Batteries not included.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Also,
moving forward, Tyrone shows up and he steals the life powder in, like, what, a second and a half? It takes him no time at all to do it. I'm actually wondering why it's taken him so long to do it.
Because, because at first he's also afraid of the turkey balloon. He doesn't realize that it's a balloon. He thinks it's legitimately a giant turkey.
Okay, fair.
And so then he hears Dorothy say balloon and he jumps out of hiding and goes, balloon? And so then he gets the idea because he sees that Pumpkinhead has this powder. And so he's like, oh, well, shit, if that thing's not alive, I can bring it to life and make it my slave.
Yep. This all tracks.
Lot of slavery talk. The 80s, that was not a big deal.
He a little more. Actually say slave. He doesn't actually say slave.
Yes, he does.
Does he?
He absolutely does.
It's an inanimate object come to life. You're allowed to make it into slaves.
The Green Goblin, Green Goblin. Yeah, the Green Goblin, Norman Osborn, comes to life.
No, you should be thinking that this entire time, because it is basically that.
Yeah. He comes to life. It turns out there was, and so he flies away on the turkey. That's great. And then a little extra powder somehow hit the mincemeat pie.
Love
which
it.
Which now is speaking with a different accent with every line. And why? Because he's made of a bunch of different types of meat.
I'm
wondering.
Love that how, bit.
But like, does this mean the meat came from the four corners of the earth? That mean that part of the meat came from Germany? Some of the meat came from Spain?
It's
some of the meat came from France?
It's just a good bit, Ray. It's just a good
bit. I want to make sense of this.
Wonder her stupid grandparents can't afford the house because they're buying all sorts of crazy ass imported meats from all over the world just to make a goddamn pie for a party that no one's coming to.
You know, first of all, they take pride in their cooking. Second of all, you don't know that it's all meat. It could be imported spices. There could be, you know, something in the dough. They might have gotten
something in the dough.
I don't know.
We already talked about what was in the dough.
The flour could be for. It's talking in an Italian accent, in Scottish accent, in an English accent. And again, this is Sid Caesar once again. And this is a cool, weird, Oz-worthy thing that now there's a talking pie that no one is allowed to eat because it's sentient and it's creepy. And I appreciate it.
See, Chan,
I will say that I was part of the reason why it wasn't connecting with me was because I was like, oh yeah, that's basically Robin Williams doing Aladdin, even though this is, you know, what, 10 years earlier. So, you know, if anything, Disney ripped them off. But even still, I was like, oh yeah, kind of seen this. But also, you are right. It is kind of a cool thing. And I feel like Ed should cut it more slack.
Yeah. Creepy creepy
around.
Sentient pie slack.
Who knew that was what was going to bring you back to the table?
The weirdest things.
And Dorothy wants to go warn Ozma, but Pumpkinhead tells her it's a 2-day walk. So instead, they decide to head to Kukula Mountain.
Yep. We got to go through the tiger cave. We got to get to the volcano castle. And we got to get past this tiger. And let's talk a whole lot about pioneers now for no good reason.
Oh, by the way, can I just say that the name of this pie is UN Crust?
Yeah.
Come on, that's great.
UN Crust?
Yeah, UN Crust.
Like UN Crust a pie, but the UN is the United Nations.
Yeah, United Nations Crust, because he's filled with all the different countries.
I guess.
Oh, come on. That's a good bit for a kid's cartoon.
Again. Yep,
that is a good bit for a kid's cartoon.
I do like, though.
Oh, just because me mince pies are made for a wee bit of everything, ecumenical, as you might say.
I have never heard the word ecumenical used in a children's cartoon.
Yeah.
I'd be hard-pressed to think of a time that I've heard it on television. So, you know what? I will give props to that.
Yes.
That
was,
you know what? You haven't heard it until Unicorn Season 2 comes out and Gina works it into a script.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this pie is inching you towards liking this cartoon.
Yes. So, no, because they start walking towards this tiger cave, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know what we should probably be talking about? Pioneers.
Okay,
you know,
so this,
let's have a whole conversation about pioneers.
Okay, so this is the second point in the cartoon that they altered to make it more year-round friendly. The original discussion was Dorothy saying, like, oh, to pass the time as we walk to this cave, I'll tell you about the pilgrims, which makes more sense because it's around Thanksgiving and it's, you know, she's going to tell them the story of Thanksgiving. But the makers of the cartoon said, you know what? We want to be able to play this giant turkey cartoon in the summertime too. So let's change the word pilgrim to pioneers. And it's weird. It's because to be walking towards a cave and to out of nowhere say, you know what? I'm going to tell you a story about pioneers to kill the time. It's like, okay, there's a talking pie here, so I guess this isn't any weirder.
You know, one thing I would like to say, though, is that UN Crust is definitely a pioneer.
That's solid. And I ain't going to front. That was good. Yeah, go ahead and
I really
mark
just
it.
For, yeah. Mark that one. That's my highlight of the show.
No, let's go back further. It's the highlight of this entire podcast. Going back 5 years.
Wow.
You are not going to do better than this, Ray.
Wow.
You have not done. You will not ever do.
Jada, get me the suit.
Oh, it's time. It's time.
You know what? I'm never going to be able to chase this high again. I might as well go out on top.
All right.
Oh my goodness.
I'm on board with it. But then do Chan and I continue on the podcast without you?
Well, I'll be a ghost and I'll.
You'll still be podcasting? I'm sure your wife will be thrilled that that's what you choose to come back. That's your unfinished business to come back for.
Are you kidding me? She'll be glad to be rid of me. There's a Brazilian helicopter pilot somewhere.
She'll be glad to be rid of you, and then you'll come back, and she'll be like, oh, you had unfinished business? Is it your baby daughter or your love for me? And then you'll say, no, it's Tuesday night. I've got to record Knowing is Half the Podcast. Do you still want me to go in the garage to do it?
I'll be honest. If you were to say that to her right now, she'd be like, yeah, that tracks. We get our second song, and this one, Gina, I'm going to need some explanation here, because I swear to God, Sid Caesar keeps singing about beans in your butt, which is a little weird. It's a little bit. Can we hear a little bit, Chan, before Gina gives me this full on correct explanation of what's going on?
Oh, boy.
With beans in your button, the bone of your back, and a heart that wants to believe, ain't nothing can hurt in this whole world, ain't nothing can make you grieve.
Oh, I wanted more of it.
You're not getting it.
Dang.
You can go watch it again if you want to.
That's a good song.
I couldn't understand half of what he said. That's my biggest problem. Like, I'm listening to the chorus like the seventh or eighth time. I thought I maybe could figure out half of it. Like, I had a very hard time with it.
To be fair, like, these idioms are not common anymore.
That's the problem,
Beans for brains. Button your head, a bone in your back. I mean, that's just like a weird construction.
If you've got backbone, and it means then, if you got smart, right. heart, and no. courage.
I understand all of these things.
I'm explaining it for Ray, who doesn't.
I have none of those. Poorly things. Put together.
No, I like that song.
You know what I have? I have beans in my butt.
Yeah, that makes sense that you thought it was beans in your butt, because we all know you like to stuff things in your butt, Ray, but it wasn't. It's not what he was singing. And I appreciate anytime I hear a weird Sid Caesar song, I am on board. How can you not be on board? Like, if this was on Laugh-In, you would have been like, oh, this is genius. Look at Sid Caesar doing his bit on Laugh-In about beans in your button. This is great. This is hilarious. But because it's a kid's cartoon, you hate it.
Does Gina think that Sid Caesar was a regular on Laugh-In?
He was definitely on Laugh-In. He made appearances on Laugh-In.
Is she confusing Sid Caesar with Goldie Hawn?
Google it.
I'm wondering about this world that Gina lives in, where Sid Caesar ditties are just commonplace as she walks around.
Google it. Also,
can't go to the supermarket without hearing a Sid Caesar song.
Okay, first of all, you both were invited to my house several years ago for a weird movie that I put on, which was the live action Alice in Wonderland, which we watched the first half of because it's a very long movie.
We did.
And I recall both of you being there. Well, I know Ray was there. Chan, were you there for Alice in Wonderland?
I was definitely at the party. I don't remember if I was there for...
Chan showed up by himself. I do remember this party vividly for the people at home.
And we watched.
We had a gift exchange, and we did the first half of Alice in Wonderland.
Yes.
And then I had to go home.
And Sid Caesar is singing a song. So I'm just saying, Ray is saying, what world does Gina live in where Sid Caesar's singing songs? But first of all, this cartoon has about two Sid Caesar songs in it.
We've already
watched another movie with another Sid Caesar song
in it. That was like 2 years ago.
You don't remember stuff from 2 years ago, Ray? You need to get your CTE checked out. You need to get your CTE checked out and then donate your brain to science when you put on your finest suit and kill yourself later tonight.
Guarantee it. No, I look. I've been hitting the head a lot, everybody. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to the tiger cave, because the tiger comes out as a very sassy vegetarian, and I am here for flipping the script.
Yeah, I like that he's a tiger with a conscience. So he really wants to eat meat, but he can't. He feels bad, so he doesn't want to kill anything. Which I like, because that's how I feel most of the time.
I'm up for this, except for the part where they say, well, yeah, but we're going to go find this evil dude, and then you can eat him with a clear conscience, like the Bernie Getz vigilante you are. You just decide that someone's bad, and then you can murder him and eat him, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer style. So we're just like wrapping up two horrible human beings in one.
No, first of all, that dude is talking about like exterminating the Ozian. So he's the Hitler of Oz. If you had a trained tiger, would you not be like, hey, I know you don't like to do this, but I'm giving you permission to eat Hitler? You're telling me you wouldn't do that?
I mean, we already have the Green Gobbler on the whole Hitler situation. I don't think we need to double up on it, for Christ's sake. We've got it. It's taken care of. Okay, Gina, calm down. Situation resolved.
That's what Hitler you say, but then done. When Hitler escapes, you're going to be like, why didn't we double up to ensure that he would get it?
Gina, I don't want to burst your bubble or anything, but we took care of Hitler a long time ago. Yeah. The history books confirm he's gone. You know, which is still, I mean, let's be frank here, a long effing time ago.
God, that is. That's like 20 years ago, Chan. What are you talking about?
It is. Anytime you put down the 80s, you think about the 80s, it gets further and further away.
Not true.
It's your childhood.
That's not how time works.
But it's still further and further away. 1980, 40 years ago.
That's outrageous. Not, Chan, not why how you got time a live works. Here?
40.
I was you alive in the 80s and I am not 40, so that math does not check out.
It's further away now than, what, 2050?
No.
Yeah, the year 2050.
No, there's no such thing as 2050.
Yeah, that's a lie. So, moving forward, they join forces with the tiger in this horrible way that Chan has referenced. Because, yeah, it's like the chaplains who go to war. And the soldiers are all just like, you know, I'm worried about religious reasons for not killing people. It's literally pretty prominent in the book I worship. And the chaplain's like, no, they're Germans. You can kill them. It's kind of the same logic here with the tiger and a proto-Hitler, Tyrone the toy tinkerer.
Yeah. The glee with which he, like, imagines this meal is kind of...
What a nummy idea. A chubby Tyrone burger. Where's my mustard?
Yeah, that's like that's a bit much.
This cartoon is so weird and twisted. How can you guys not like it?
I will say, I don't hate this, but I am creeped out by it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's creepy and weird and disturbing, like Return to Oz. That's why I love it.
Return to Oz, as I said before, made me shit my pants as a kid. So maybe I have some lingering memories.
But this is like, it's like an even more kidded down version of that weird stuff. So it's like weird stuff light, but it's still entertaining.
That's the problem, is that the rest of it is so, it borders on Strawberry Shortcake sweetness.
He also wrote Strawberry Shortcake. Romeo Muller also wrote a Strawberry Shortcake.
Son of a bitch. I am a fan.
I'm telling you, look him up. He Puff the Magic Dragon.
Look, Bob Mueller's done a lot of good for this country. I'm not going to lie. But to know that he did Strawberry Shortcake really, really puts the strawberry on top.
I mean, I didn't get you with the Hobbit cartoon. I feel like everyone loved that weird Hobbit cartoon.
Big fan. Big fan of the Hobbit cartoon.
I'm a boxy guy.
Oh.
Also good. Fritz the Cat, really good.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I know you guys usually look stuff up more than I do, but after we're done here, look up Romeo Muller. You will be impressed. His contribution to all of the like kids animation and claymation movies cannot be overstated.
I mean, he sounds like a nice guy.
I'm just saying, Google him. Google him when
so we meet TikTok, who unfortunately turns out to not be a 25-second video of someone dancing.
Boo, I hate that reference.
Oh man, if he flossed, I would be all.
Oh no, TikTok the robot was around way before.
Dude, what if you made a TikTok video of yourself dressed as TikTok? You start doing the floss, you stop. Somebody winds you up,
and then
you finish doing the floss. This is the greatest video in the history of the internet.
That actually is probably the best idea you've ever had. I'm not being sarcastic at all.
No, for real.
I think we should do this.
The arms moving kind of look like the arms are like a grandfather clock on TikTok, right? On top, just like multiple layers.
I mean, it would be a very specific audience, but I bet it would go viral and we would all be billionaires.
Our video channel only has two things: Gina lip syncing Christmas shoes.
Hey, I was lip syncing. That terrible sound was coming out of my mouth.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's our YouTube, everybody. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Romeo Muller was also the voice of the narrator, the talking son in the Strawberry Shortcake TV specials.
Oh, snap.
Which he also wrote and co-produced. Come on. How could you not like this?
Here's the thing.
No.
I really love the Louis series. I think it's fantastic work of art. The person himself is a completely separate thing from that.
No.
I can separate them all, and you know, because if you're saying that just because he's a good person, we should like all of the things he's done.
I'm saying that he clearly is talented. He wrote the best of the Strawberry Shortcakes. He also wrote material for Jack Benny.
Yeah. To what Chan said, though, Life with Louie is an excellent cartoon. We've done it here on the show, and I can't imagine anybody hating Louie Anderson.
Yeah, it's so weird that it turns out that he cornered women in hotel rooms. And
not the guy you would think would
do
it.
We're going to get sued. We're going to get sued for this.
I'm trying to work in a Louis the 14th reference here. Give me a minute. I'm just running through some ideas in my head. Or like,
well, we're running long, so we got to start pushing towards the end here.
Wind in the Willows? He did Wind in the Willows.
Christ.
Come on.
All right. So they join forces in the cave. They get lost in the cave. They meet TikTok. They got to push a rock to get to the castle. The gobbler attacks them in a kind of scary-ass moment.
Wait.
Dorothy gets abducted and taken to the castle.
Wait, the pie does a pretty good bit when they're all trying to move the rock that's blocking.
What was the bit? I don't remember that.
That's when Chan plays the bit.
Come on, that's delightful. You had me look. We had to cut out like a minute and a half where I went searching around for this drop that you're talking about, and that's what you wanted me to find?
There's a pie in a cave. While a pumpkin head, a wind up clock, a vegetarian tiger, and a little girl from Kansas are trying to move a rock, and the pie is going ya da 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 push ya da da da.
Whoosh.
Yeah, I could live without that in my life.
You guys are no fun at all.
I was getting close. I was almost on. I had set one delicate toe on board the ship. I was getting ready to ride it, and then you just take the gangplank and went wobble, 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 wobble. Now I'm back on shore.
Oh my God, you guys are no fun.
So I noted here, because Dorothy's just been abducted, and there's only like 3 minutes to go in this special.
But they pack a lot of fun into these 3 minutes because
it's crazy.
Dorothy's sassy response when she meets the tinker is great.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not afraid of you.
Kansas girls like, scare easy, she says. Mm-hmm, and he's so dejected. I love how dejected he is. He's just like, you're afraid of me. And she goes, no, I'm not. And he's like, yeah, you are. And she goes, no, I'm not. And he goes, oh. And he's just so sad that he's bad, because as we find out in a little while, he was bad at just, you know, living his life. So he decided to be a villain. And now he's found out that he's not good at that either.
Yeah, he has the same origin story as a lot of wacky morning DJs.
How long you been trying? You waiting to test out that material, Ray?
I'll be honest. I'm very proud of myself. I think that's even better than Pioneer.
It is not.
Damn it
is definitely not.
Damn it.
But also,
as an objective observer,
this guy's line delivery on a lot of these lines is hilarious. Like, she's trying to convince him, like, hey, you're a toy maker. It's almost Christmas time. We're in Oz. And he just goes,
toys, Christmas, Oz. I don't get the connection.
Good line reading. It's a good.
It is solid.
That was strong.
I don't know. I the whole thing at this point, I was like, her whole deal is her innocence makes people feel guilty so that they won't do bad things. Like,
what?
she comes up to the tiger, who's like, I'm gonna murder you, and she's like, no you won't, and he's like, you're right, I'm weak, I'm horrible. She comes up to this tinker, he's like, I'm gonna kill you and I want to enslave the entire, and she's like, no you won't, and he's like, oh, you're right, I feel bad.
No, it's not, it's just, she's not guilting them, she's showing them that she's not afraid of them, because bullies want you to be afraid of them, and once you're not, you're taking away their power. It's a good message.
It's a good message that's pure bullshit.
Yeah.
We have 4 years to attest to the fact that that wouldn't do squat.
No one ever stood up to Trump in those 4 years. At least no one of consequence.
So you're saying that a little 9-year-old Kansas girl could have walked into the Oval Office and be like, Mr. President, you're being a sissy pants. And he'd be like, oh, no, you're right. That's so terrible. I really should go to therapy and talk about my feelings about my dad instead of ruining everybody's goddamn
life.
It's not
just that. It's also the touching song that she sings. But she shows him, like, dude, you're not even scary enough to scare a little girl. You need to find a new career path. And he resists it. But then she says, Kansas girls don't scare easy. Great message. Especially in 1980. You need to give this some credit. Again, very strawberry shortcakey.
This is just before the peak of Stranger Danger. I feel like every message post this is don't talk to strangers, turn around and run, don't stand up to them, because then they're just going to pick you up and throw you into their windowless van.
These rules don't
where you
apply
get sold
in
to
Oz.
An island.
Here's the thing, this has already been set up. Wizard of Oz has already been set up as she goes there and she talks to a bunch of strangers. They can't now go back on that message and say, hey, you shouldn't talk to strangers. She's already talked to Pumpkinhead, Sentient Pie, TikTok, a vegetarian tiger. So at this point, it does her no good. She has to stand her ground.
Her entire character revolves around talking to strangers. I mean, that's exactly. Literally all she does.
Exactly. But she not only stands her ground, she gets to his story where she says, oh yeah, I did have dreams of, you know, being a good guy who made toys at some point, but it didn't work out. And she says, it's not too late. It's a very, you know, Christmas carol-y thing. They drew him so he looks like Santa. They're clearly setting him up to become the Santa of Oz. I think this is cool.
This song, by the time we get to this song, I am pretty checked out in terms of music.
Oh,
yeah. Well, can we hear a little bit of it, Jan?
Love and lots and toys. And Oz can happen any day. A timeless
Ugh.
It's great.
Yeah, it's like, real saccharine. It gets real saccharine at this point because Tyrone now decides he cannot do evil anymore. What I appreciate is that the rest of the heroes finally catch up with Dorothy and try to beat the shit out of him anyway.
Yeah, that tiger's about to eat that fool.
That tiger wants that mustard, man. He wants it. He wants it bad.
He was promised food.
And she's like, oh, he's not evil anymore. No. So you go hungry, you piece of crap.
Yeah, I would do the same thing. If someone was like, hey, hike through this mountain and I'll give you a sandwich on the other side. If when I got there, they were like, no more sandwich, I would be like, cool, I'm throwing you into this volcano that I'm about to make active.
I swear to God, we have this whole saccharine, you know, sweet song about snow and rainbows and happiness, and he changes his mind and wants to be the Santa of Oz. And then this tiger breaks down the door like fucking John Rambo and just tries to murder him. And I'll be honest, that was my favorite part of the entire cartoon.
I mean, come on, there's a lot of good parts in this, but yes, this is when they all come and try to murder him. It's so very good. Fun.
They're not having it. They're like, shut up, Dorothy. I psych myself up all day to murder this guy. I'm doing it.
Weirdly, and I wonder if this wasn't a situation where they had a bunch more that they cut. They throw this powder of life, this life-giving powder, into the volcano. And so I'm like, oh, we're going to have lava monsters or just one giant lava monster. And like, no, it just blows up.
No, this is not This is not something they cut. The thinking was it makes it alive/live. So it turns an inactive volcano into an active volcano.
I thought we were going to get a talking volcano.
It's sort of a play on words. They didn't turn a
goddamn pumpkin into a live pumpkin. They turned it into a humanoid creature who has a conscience and exists and has thoughts. Like, does the volcano now is a sentient volcano?
No, it turned it.
Is this like lava? Is this like that short, that Pixar short, where the island is like, lava you.
That's a good one. That's a good Pixar short.
Hell yeah, it is. Well, it makes me cry.
So the whole thing is going to blow up right now. And so they're all saved by the Green Gobbler. He saves them all. How about that?
Yeah. He swoops in and flies them away. He swoops in and flies them away to Oz.
And then just the real weird part, they say like, okay, you've saved Oz, ideally. So we're going to give you a reward. We've teleported your family's farmhouse to Oz.
Wait.
Where you will now have Thanksgiving in Oz, and you now must live forever in Oz.
Wait, no, okay. So first of all, she meets Ozma, and we see the OG characters. They don't speak for some reason, which is weird, but we see the Cowardly Lion, the Tin Man, and the Scarecrow there. So she's reunited with her original friends. And then Ozma, who is now the queen of Oz, who you'll remember from Return to Oz as the one that Mombi imprisoned. And so she says to her, like, what do you want? She says, more than anything, I want to see Aunt Em and Uncle Henry. Because remember, they're going to a home tomorrow, Ray, and I'm going to an orphanage tomorrow, Ray. And we can't afford this house because the bank is foreclosing on it, Ray.
Also, they're not going to an old folks home. They're going to a nice hotel somewhere up north.
And so Ozma says, okay, oh, so you want to go home? You have good friends back home? And she's like, no, everyone hates me back home. I literally only have friends in Oz.
It's true.
So of course.
Yeah, that's a red flag.
All of her problems are solved by the fact that they pick up this farm, which I assume has no indoor plumbing because there aren't pipes sticking out the bottom of it.
It's Kansas. They don't have indoor plumbing now. Zing, 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 zing.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Fuck you, McConnell.
We just lost our one listener from Kansas.
You are okay. But you one listener. You're cool.
But this is dope. This solves all of their problems. No more home. No more orphanage. No more bank. Home. The bank's gonna show up in the morning, and they're really gonna get what they deserve. Stupid big bank.
Thank you for mentioning it, Gina. People at that bank aren't going to have a good Thanksgiving or Christmas because now they've lost out on that revenue stream. I think this is anti-capitalism, and I am sternly not here for it. I feel bad for the poor people at the bank who worked very hard to foreclose that loan. They had to file all that paperwork. They probably gave them several chances to pay it back.
No, how do they live with themselves? Now they don't even get a job like that. How do they live with themselves? That's like being a repo man.
Think of that poor banker that's not going to get his bonus this year because he didn't foreclose enough houses.
But can I just say that Aunt Em and Uncle Henry are flown over the rainbow, house and all, and then they set down, and then Dorothy's like, Aunt Em, Uncle Henry, and they're like, oh, I guess she was telling the truth all along. Ha ha, look, there's a sentient pumpkin man, and that mince pie that I made is now talking. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving. Like, they take that shit in stride, and it makes me love them even more. And especially, like, it's especially weird because in Return to Oz, which is, again, just the darkest, weirdest movie.
God.
But it starts on the premise that Dorothy can't stop talking about how she went to Oz. So her Aunt Em takes her to get electroshock therapy to get these crazy thoughts out of her head. She's going to do this newfangled therapy that they had in the black and white days. called electroshock therapy. So, and this Aunt Em is chill as fuck. Like, she's like, oh, cool. Okay, I guess no more home for me. Now we live in this place that it's everyone's so weird looking. All right, I did make an extra big turkey just for the three of us. And now it's a happy ending because that tiger can eat a turkey because it's already dead. And what? And also
the wizard
smuggled himself away in their chimney. He somehow knew they were going to be flown.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
He put that ball in motion.
Tyrone's going to be Santa Claus from now on. Happy ending.
Yeah, then that's our show. Happy endings, everybody. Happy endings.
So did I
hand jobs all around?
Did I sway you at all?
I will say that I'm leaving this enjoying it more than I did going in.
Yes.
I didn't hate it. I just thought it was kind of weird and kind of like, to what Chan said, it balances these horrifying moments with this ultra sweet strawberry shortcake world.
Weird tone issues.
Yeah. And I just, it's hard for me to kind of get a handle on what this thing is. Because it's so all over the place and it's so weird.
Especially,
I like weird stuff. I didn't hate this.
Especially
but I
after
didn't
the
love
Berenstain
it.
Bears, which I think was God. Bland, which was so a bland mad. Holiday. I appreciate the moments that are very weird and peppered throughout because they keep your interest instead of just, okay, this is just a bland holiday special. It's the weird little specifics. Which he also puts in things like Rudolph, where it's like, oh, okay, there's a snow monster, but he's got a toothache. There's an elf, but he wants to be a dentist. There's all these weird, freakish toys on an island of forgotten toys. It's the little spins that he puts on things that make this some good kids writing, I think.
I will say that this has not changed my mind that Halloween specials generally are pretty good. Christmas specials are pretty good. There are no good Thanksgiving specials. They're all terrible.
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Arguably because the holiday itself is bullshit.
Whoa! Now that's a shot fired. I am not here for, Chan. Thanksgiving
like
is the
food.
Best holiday.
The food, but you can see in this very thing, they're trying to explain the story of pilgrims. Turns out it's you gotta lie a lot. And then the cops came and then they had a big old party. You're skipping over a lot of genocide there, my friend.
Look, you don't want to be the boner killer that brings up death at every holiday, which, by the way, you can with every holiday because the history of the world
is filled
with a lot of death.
I do. Every holiday.
No, that's
fucking
terrible.
Arbor Day. I'm all over it. Can you think of all these trees that are dying for what?
Oh, we had Chan over for Thanksgiving a couple years ago, and he showed up literally dressed as the Grim Reaper. He showed up as Father Death, and I was surprised, but at the end of the day, not surprised.
No one likes the vegan on Thanksgiving that's talking about how all the turkeys are slaughtered either. No one likes the person on Christmas that's talking about all the trees that are cut down. Enjoy life. Let people enjoy life. Let them enjoy their life in Oz in retirement. This is the Florida of the world for Aunt Em and Uncle Henry. Let them enjoy it.
You know what we should enjoy? We should enjoy a theme song throwdown.
I did just get someone just tweeted at me. CNRIS just tweeted, how do you think Star versus the Forces of Evil theme song stands up to Gravity Falls?
Ooh.
Stan versus the Forces of Evil?
Star.
What's, I don't know
that. I also don't know, so I can't answer, but I know that Gravity Falls was one of the best.
I thought you would, Gina. Yeah, there's a show called Star versus the Forces of Evil.
I don't know that.
We'll do it in another round, in a future round. We'll see. Right. Yeah. It's the theme song throwdown. Bought that on cassette. That's how old I am. It's the theme song throwdown. We're here with patron Andy Costello. How you doing, Andy?
I'm wired. I'm full of caffeine right now.
Yeah.
It's either 11:30 at night or 5:30 in the morning. I'm not sure which.
It's see, you don't have to have a kid now. You've got the experience. You've got the entire experience. Just piss on yourself a little bit and just rub like chewed up food in your hair. You got it.
No, I very intentionally have not ever had children and plan to never do that.
I thought the same thing. I'm not going to tell you to do it. I'm saying sometimes things happen.
I understand that.
Are you prepared to judge honestly, truthfully, impartially?
I mean, impartially is a tall order. I will say yes. Yes, right. I am.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Here's the first song in the matchup.
Okay.
Kid Video.
I'm taking you to the flip side.
What happened?
Ay, ay, ay. We look like
cartoons.
You'll be my musical slaves forever.
I'll explain later. Let's go!
Boy, that is...
That is a long song.
It is a long song, and yeah, it's you've got to judge it without the visuals, which are pretty great.
Right.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm a big fan of TV show theme songs in general. I think that there is a real art to telling the entire story of a show, or at least the mood of a show, in about a minute.
Yeah.
And some shows and their songs do it very well, and others not so much, which, you know, that's what this whole thing is about, right?
Wow. Are you, which one, what does this, what category does this fall into?
I think the song is great. I think when they added that extra 40 seconds or whatever at the end where it was like, let's explain the premise of the show now, is a little unnecessary. I mean, you know, this is one of those things where had the show lasted for more than a season, I think you could have cut that second half out and just had the song part.
Sure, sure.
Fun facts about Kid Video. One of the kids that, or one of the voice actors in that is Robbie Rist, who is better known as both Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch and the voice of Michelangelo in the 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies.
Wait a minute. Is he the chubby kid in this one?
You know, I'm not looking at the visuals right now, so I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
yeah, I just pulled up IMDb. Okay. It's the character of Wiz. The kid has glasses, so obviously he's Wiz.
Yes.
That makes total sense. He's doing okay for himself now, right?
Yeah.
He's probably grown up into like a producer or director or something.
He's still doing something. He's on the Twitter tweeting out stuff about what he's doing. So
he's playing. He does voiceover for Doc McStuffins.
Oh, perfect. There you go.
Among other things. Oh yeah, dude works. He works.
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly
yeah.
Voiceover. Great. That's, you like to see it. You like to see the child actors make something of themselves.
Yes. Yeah. It's encouraging to see that not all of the child actors of the 80s and 90s were kids whose parents pushed them into stardom so that they could spend all the money their child earns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which we know happened to at least a few of those kids.
I'm going to do that with my kid.
Oh no.
I mean, I'm in Los Angeles. What else am I going to do? Like, all my neighbors are doing it. What I'm just going to be, I'm going to be the Jones that got left behind.
I got to
keep up with the other Joneses.
You could be better than your neighbors, Chan.
That doesn't sound like a very American thing to do. bad, so I'm going to be worse.
That's not better.
No, I'm pretty sure that's how it works. That's in the Constitution.
Oh boy.
Life, liberty, and being shittier than your neighbors. It's got a nice look. Were you telling Thomas Jefferson he's wrong? Is that what you're doing right now?
I'm not telling anyone they're wrong. I'm telling you to be better than your neighbors.
The next song in the theme song throwdown. This is what's going up against Kid Video.
Okay.
Jam.
I mean, yeah, what else do you need to say, right? That song, that is another song that has been stuck in my head since about 1986. It just doesn't leave.
I tell you what, like, straight up talk, both of those songs are great pop songs.
Yes.
And make you want to dance. They make you want to sing along to them. Jem suffers to me because the lyric is not, "We are the misfits, our songs are bitter." It's, "We are the misfits, our songs are better." Mm-hmm. And if it were bitter, I'd be like, fuck yeah, you fucking misfits, you go. I'm into that. And I will say too that I have a soft spot for that extended kind of informational, expositional stuff like you have in Kid Video. Mm-hmm. Some people, I'm not going to name names, Andy Costello, think that it's a black mark to just have like them talking out the plot of the show. But like, I'm still a huge fan of Thundar, which is basically all that. Just like, here's what's going on in 1994 and like magic and weird monsters and shit. Yep. And like with Kid Video, it's just, you know, it's like, here's the plot written out for you dumb children. definitely that's not for everybody. So, where are you going with this one? Which is the better cartoon theme song?
Boy, yeah, you know. So, yeah, that's kind of two questions, right? Like, which is the better song? Which is the better song for its show? And I don't know that there's a proper answer I don't know that the answer for both of those questions is the same answer.
Yeah, I will tell you that in my mind, mm-hmm. the point of this theme song throwdown is, which is the better cartoon theme song for the show that it is designed for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But not everybody chooses that path. Some people will choose just the better song. Some people will separate it from the visuals, and it's a little hard to do that. You know, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. Like, The Simpsons is so a part of, you know, the visuals that come with it. Like, you kind of have to take some of that into account. Not everybody does. So I deliberately took the host of the show out of this decision, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we all have our thoughts and opinions, and we've registered them. So now it is upon you.
Now it's up
to
you
to decide.
Now it's all off to all of us people that give you money, so that you can keep doing this show.
Man,
I think both songs are great, but I know I ruffled some feathers in the redemption bracket with some of my thoughts and opinions on, you know, some shows that are very reliant upon their visuals, Batman, and maybe some songs that were not written originally for television, but had to be re-recorded because they were originally written for a movie, Batman, that I don't think should have been in the tournament. And in fact, I asked you to not put in the tournament because I knew that just their inclusion would cause other shows' songs to be knocked out unfairly, which happened. So,
look, man, this is an art, not a science. If you want a science, what is it? It's called a preference revealer. I think if you Google that, what it does is you can take any list of things and then it will pair them off. It will give them to as pairs, M&M's versus Skittles, and then, you know, M&M's versus Snickers, and then Snickers versus, and it'll make you keep making these choices so that you have to, you know, so that you, the final list will be properly ordered, like the ones you actually like. And and in this tournament, like, yeah, there's plenty of ones that got knocked out that maybe shouldn't, and like, is the best song going to make it through? Maybe not. But you can take this entire list, you can put it in preference revealer and do the thing and find out for yourself which is the true winner. But that's not what we're doing here.
No,
what we're doing here is a messy, messy, ugly business.
If that's the case, King Arthur the Knights of Justice would have won instead of being eliminated in the first match. But I understand it's a G.I. Joe podcast. You can't eliminate G.I. Joe in the first match of the tournament.
Lord knows I tried. I certainly tried.
I'm gonna bet dollars to donuts here, and I don't even know what that phrase means, but my dad used to say it all the time, that the theme that wins this thing is probably going to be a song written by Shuki Levy, because he wrote most of these songs. Fair. So this has all been a long delay for me to make this choice. I think I have to go with Jem, which sucks because I don't want to eliminate Kid Video, but Jem comes in with that big hit right at the start, right? It just starts, Jem! And you're like, okay, I guess I'm watching Jem now.
And she's truly outrageous, and you're like, is she truly outrageous, or just, and then they come in with truly, 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 and like, I guess it's truly.
Yeah, yeah. And since I'm the kind of person who likes to keep things a little more positive, I actually prefer We Are the Misfits, Our Songs Are Better, rather than...
Get out. I don't want to hear it anymore.
No, I understand that you're the misanthrope of this trio of hosts. That's fine. We all have our roles to play. And I don't mean to spoil anyone's fun.
In real life, Gina is a billion times darker than I am.
I am not a ray
of fucking sunshine.
I am I'm not going to debate that. I'm just saying, you know, we all have our gimmicks on our shows. You know, my show Atomic Monsoon has we have our roles that we play, and
save it for the plugs. Save it for the plugs.
That's fair. But Kid Video is so good, and that's it's unfair that these are the two you gave me to pick from. But Jem comes in with a big hit, and it's just that mid to late 80s wall of sound the entire way through. And it even ends on a big hit. You know, there's no question that it's over. Whereas with Kid Video, like, that's a song, and then it's done, and then it keeps going.
Yeah, you want to be guided a little bit. You want a strong hand at the tiller.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't know that any Canadian, you know, synth pop bands have done covers of Kid Video, but Freeze Pop certainly did a cover of the Jem theme song. So...
Well, you know what? Me and my ukulele, we're going to do this. We're going to bring Kid Video back for the 2020s.
Fantastic. If you need someone to talk about sending you to the flip side, I am more than willing to come in and do some silly voices.
Done and done.
All right.
Thank you, Andy Costello. Where would you like them to go? What would you like them to listen to?
Yeah, so... I am debating deleting all of my social media at the end of the year. So if you want to follow me on the internet, you have two choices. One is to go to my podcast, Atomic Monsoon, which you can find either at atomicmonsoon.com or on your favorite podcast aggregator, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever they're all called now. I know they keep changing their names.
What do you use?
I use the built-in podcast thing on my iPhone. So I know.
Disgusting.
Listen. Apple makes things that work for Apple products. So
Pocket Casts. The way to go. Trust me on this one.
Okay. I'll look into it. Also, I also work for Voice America, the world leader in live internet talk radio. So I have to make sure that the things work, like my show works on the things that most people are using.
Right. So, no, I get you.
You know, Alternatively, if you want to follow me without any of my hosts, or, you know, if, say, Atomic Monsoon ever ends and you're like, oh, man, where do I find more of this guy who has terrible opinions about TV show themes, or has opinions about TV show themes separate from their shows? You can follow me at psychoandy.com, psychoandy.com, which is my usual online handle for anything since 1995. Yeah. And that's mostly an art blog. You know, I post a piece of art that I've done either recently or I have some stuff that I did back in the 90s when I was awful and still learning how to, you know, think about drawing. Nice. But it's kind of fun to look at, like, oh, here's a thing I did when I was 10 that I still have. And here's me drawing this character in 2020.
So you're redrawing the same character?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, into it.
Yeah.
Love it.
So in some cases, other times it's just posts. Like it's October when we're recording this. I don't know when it'll air, but every day in October, I had auto posting a different monster that I've drawn at some point in history.
Ooh.
In addition to Inktober drawings. So double updates every day. So yeah. Yeah. Pretty much daily updates on psychoandy.com. Yeah. And then Atomic Monsoon, where I talk, me and my co-hosts talk about nerdy stuff, including old TV shows and video games and movies and comic books.
Which so, Gina has been on.
Gina has been on. Yes. Gina was on episode 61, written by Gina Ippolito, which was actually the last episode we recorded before we went to quarantine.
Is this Gina's fault?
No,
did she cause coronavirus?
No, not at all. It was a thing. That night I was supposed to go to a wrestling show locally and it had to be canceled because between the time that the show was announced and the night of the show, the mayor of the city it was being held in basically shut down public gatherings.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, it was also Friday the 13th. So
you would have been dead by now. You would have gone to that show. You would have died.
Yeah.
And this never would have happened. The pinnacle of your life.
Probably
being
true.
A guest on the show would not have happened.
Yeah. But we should maybe talk about getting you and or Ray on the show at some point as well.
Heyo. I am very free.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I'm working from home these days. So, yeah, we'll make something work out.
Sweet. Thank you very much, Andy Costello.
All right, Chan, thank you very much.
That was theme song Throwdown. Chan, wow, round two is crazy.
Right?
Just
You're
insane
welcome.
Wild. What a matchup that definitely went a certain way.
Yep.
I'm either angry or very upset or very, very happy about that result.
I sent you the list of who won all of these things. You could just look at it.
I don't know what order anything's happening in, so...
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Kayfabe. So my point is, great job, Chan, with that theme song throwdown that I'm here for. Great job.
Just
okay.
Finish up.
So we had some links. Hit us up, Facebook.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast, Patreon.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast. For $5 a month, you can get access to our bonus vault. Tell us what episodes you want to do at other levels and have fun. Be on the live show. Be on the show. We had a bunch of Patreon people on the show. How exciting is that?
Oh, and Christmas is coming up soon. So if you've got a favorite Christmas special that we haven't done in past years, we're always looking for new suggestions for that.
Hey, also, Christmas is coming up. We have a store, a t-shirt store on TeePublic. There's definitely a way to find that store in every episode of this show. It's in the liner notes. So you can go to our TeePublic Knowing It's Half the Podcast store, and you can get yourself some Knowing It's Half the Podcast and G.I. Joe adjacent t-shirts, mugs, pillowcases. Like, it's all
we
the stuff.
We have pillowcases?
I might actually just get some pillowcases for people.
I already got a coffee mug just because I love having coffee mugs.
I love coffee mugs too. I didn't know we had all this merch.
Gina, we have like all the merch, phone cases. I mean, like we got the shit. Let's do it.
I literally sent a screenshot of the mug that I bought. I sent it to you people because there was a sale that day.
I don't remember this. I don't remember.
You say I got CTE. What's happening right now? Anyway, you can go to our store and you can get all kinds of good stuff. You guys, A Double Back, Unicorn Season 2. These are good shows. Who would win? Check them out. They're cool.
Let's go. This show's over like 2.5 hours.
The longest episode in history. How? How is this the longest
episode? It was
my fault
because I did a deep dive.
Yeah. Gina had too much to say this week. We'll make sure that doesn't happen next week. We won't even let her watch the show next week. So until then, you can hit us up online at G.I. Joe Podcast on Twitter. Individually, I am at Almighty Ray.
Genus Tombstone. I did a deep dive.
Bye, everybody. You don't get Twitter handles.
We don't see the wonderful wizard of Oz. Here he is, a wizard of a wizard, if ever a wizard there was. If ever, ever a wizard there was, the wizard of Oz is one. Because of the wonderful things he does.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.